cares? First of all, isn't that what fucking sunglasses are for?
That part. You guys, I have to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Well, I guess it's that ketchup. Ooh, trying to find its... I guess Babes, it's that ketchup. Yeah, she's very serious. Look how fast she's running. Okay, everybody, that's so Raven. Just got diarrhea, which is so Raven.
She literally got diarrhea.
Yeah. Okay, while Chelsea. We were in the middle of the... I mean, we're wrapping it up, but she really is wrapping it up. Really? Yeah, that's your wife.
That's my f***ing wife.
Back
to another episode of Tea Time.
So here's the deal. We have someone in the hot seat today that I've known for a while. And I don't really want to give her a whole bunch of explanation. The only thing I want to do is welcome to Tea Time, Chicken Nugget. It's Chelsea Handler. She's been calling me Chicken Nugget since she met me back in 2005, and I love every minute of it, and I dip my chicken nuggets in ketchup, so whatever.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. We know you love your ketchup.
I love it.
I just got to witness that firsthand, and I can still smell it, so thank you for that
introduction. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. This feels great. No.
We need mints.
We do. No, Chelsea Handler, one of the most outspoken, confident...
Bold, brave. Sometimes bitchy, but in the best way.
In the best way. Author, not afraid to speak her mind. Human that has graced us in this industry in a way that has given myself, my wife, and all the women out here that have a microphone permission to be themselves.
Totally. Totally.
You're a New York Times bestseller. You're a comedian, actress, semi-activist, and you like black people. So how's it feel to be you?
Yeah. How does it feel, Chelsea?
How does it feel to be you, Chelsea?
How does it feel to be me? I feel like a strong woman. I've always felt like a strong woman.
Uh-oh.
I have weak moments. Tail.
Oh my God, you guys. Oh, sorry, baby.
Did
dog.
You just, Doug, are you okay? Nothing. Finger bless my dog?
Yeah.
Oh no.
She likes to play with the little.
Oh no, Doug.
Got my ring.
Doug, come over here where it's safe.
I'm sorry.
Now he has a ring on his tail.
Oh my God.
I put a ring on it. Sorry, Dougie.
I feel good. I feel like a strong woman. Yeah. I have moments of weakness where I don't feel, but I always know that I'll be strong again.
What's like a moment of weakness for you?
Not just when I get really stressed. I get stressed when I get overwhelmed easily about things. Mundane things and little things, organizational type things, not important things. Mm. The bigger the problem, the more relaxed I become. The smaller the problem, the more out of whack I become. Mm. I'm just not, my brain isn't set up that way. And from the time I was a very little girl, I just knew that I wasn't interested in those types of things. Mm. I'm not good at cooking. I'm not good at any sort of domesticity. I'm good at big ticket items.
Is that because you were raised with six other siblings?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you in the
birth youngest line? I'm the youngest of six children.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah. So I was born into my family and thought, like, you guys really need to get your shit together. And I can't believe that I have to deal with this. You know what I mean? I can't believe I was born into a family that already had five other idiots. And then the two idiot parents. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to wrangle these guys.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's a lot of work. You didn't go to college.
No.
And
why? The no.
No, I tried. I went to community college just because I had such trouble in high school. Not trouble, just wasn't interested. So I was just off. I dated a really older guy that was, you know, definitely illegal at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really interested in learning at that time. And I was very frustrated and angry as a child. My brother died. My dad and I fought all the time. And I didn't really have an avenue for all of my anger. So I just always thought I belong in a place like LA where people come who are misunderstood by their families or by their communities. Mm-hmm. I just always knew I would be going to LA. So I went to like a semester of community college at the County College of Morris. And then I said to my dad, who was a used car dealer, I'm going to go to LA. And he was like, I'll get a car ready for you. And he bought four new tires for this Audi Quattro. And my dad was so cheap.
Those are tanks.
He would never have bought me four new tires until he heard I was leaving town. And he was like, let me fucking help you out the door.
Yeah.
My mother's like, please go and don't come back anytime soon.
Oh my goodness.
That's how fractious my relationship with my parents had become. And then I drove across country. And
by yourself.
No, I had a guy with me, a rando guy. I picked up my brother, one of my brothers, had met this guy at a bar, and he said, oh, I found someone to drive across country with you. he's this bartender that I met last night, so that you don't have to drive across country by yourself as a 19-year-old young woman. And I was like, okay. So I pick up this guy in New Jersey, and he was like 26 or 27. And I just remember him walking out from his parents' house thinking, this guy seems like a loser. You know, he's living with his parents. He's 26, he's 27, and he needs to drive with me. But I was so broke that I was like, oh, okay, I'll share the costs with someone. Yeah. And the first thing he asked was to go to Harlem to pick up some cocaine. He goes, can we go to Harlem and pick up some cocaine? And I was like, oh, I'd like to go to Harlem. You know what I mean? Like, I hadn't been to Harlem. Nobody, I wasn't allowed to go to Harlem growing up in New Jersey. So I was excited. I wasn't really into cocaine at that time in my life. I just thought that was a drug you did when you were like, older, you know, like I was too young for it. So the cocaine I just kind of dismissed, and I was like, yeah, let's go. I wanted to check Harlem out. It sounded dangerous. So we go, and then I'm outside of this like building or townhouse or whatever it was, brownstone, I guess, of some sort. I mean, it was a very shady, you know, this was like 1993 or 1994 it would have been. Very shady area. And then when he did come out, he had a bag of cocaine that was like what you would see if you were watching Scarface, the movie. It was so massive.
Yeah.
Like, it was a pound of cocaine. Literally.
It was a road trip, Chelsea. He had to be prepared.
And I was like,
that's expensive.
I was like, oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm like, this guy must have a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then he's like, this is going to be my contribution to the road trip. And I'm like, no, I don't like cocaine. First of all, I'm not doing coke and driving. Like, I wasn't that, you know, I wasn't like that. And I was like, and I don't really even do cocaine. So I'm not interested. And also I don't want to, if I am doing cocaine, it's not going to be with the likes of you.
Right.
Anyway, he started doing coke while I'm driving, and I drove from Harlem to DC, and then we drove down because we were going to take the 66. There's like three main highways you take across the country. We were going to take the most southerly route. And he started doing coke in the car, and he's like taking his key out, and I don't know what the key was for because he lived with his fucking parents. But he takes the key out, and he's like, you know, snorting it. And I'm like, all right, buddy, like this is you're gonna do this the whole trip. And he had maps. This was before the internet was invented, or the same year the internet was invented by Al Gore.
Fair.
But before we had navigation, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he had all these maps out, and I'm like, how many maps do you need? Like, it's just like there's one country, how many maps? So he wouldn't stop talking, and he wouldn't stop talking. And we're in the car for like probably 5-6 hours, right? And I'm like, this guy's annoying.
Yes.
So I'm like, listen, we have to pull over and spend the night somewhere. I'm like, I need a rest. And we pull over. We go to some, you know, cheap hotel, like a Ramada Inn of sorts. We get a room with two beds. He's in the room, still doing coke. He's laying all the maps out across the room. There's like 5-6 maps on his bed, on the coffee table. I'm like, oh my God. And this was before I had access to sleeping pills. So I don't know how I went to sleep that night, but I did. Mm-hmm. I just was so annoyed that I think I just blacked out. You know what I mean? And I fell asleep. And when I woke up in the morning, I had clarity. And he still had left his stuff in the car, because when we got the hotel room, he goes, I'm not tired. I don't think I'm going to be coping.
He's out. Because
he's like, I'll drive. And I'm like, no, I don't want you to drive.
No.
So I woke up in the morning, and I'm like, okay. And he's like, I took a shower. And I was like, are you going to take a shower? And he's like, no, I don't have my clothes. They're in the car. I go, let me go get your clothes. I got my stuff. I went to the parking lot of the Ramada Inn, and I took a suitcase out. I put it in the parking lot, and then I drove away.
Hell yeah.
And drove the rest of the way by myself.
Strong yes. woman. Now, where
your
is this brother, man now?
I'm just sorry.
He had to take a taxi from Maryland back to New Jersey, and
he paid for it in
paid
coke.
For
he
it paid for it probably in cocaine. He probably stayed in that hotel room and did all coke. That coke.
Your brother
is a mess.
Is a loser.
Yeah. That's
my brother. That's my brother's version of being protective of me.
That's crazy.
Here is a 26, 27-year-old cokehead for my sister to drive because he can't drive because he's coked out.
Yeah.
That's
But
wild,
you know what? You
Chelsea.
Know what? That builds character. Now
it
you
does.
Have 6 books out and you've been talking about it, and you're rich as fuck in multiple houses.
How do you
in multiple
still
countries.
Have stuff to say, Chelsea? 6 books?
I have 7 books, actually.
Oh, 7 books, correction.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys, but I have 7 books. I don't know. I live a lot of life. I make sure that I work hard and that I vacation as just as hard so that I have stories to tell. And not only because it's worked out that way, but that's not my intention. Now I realize, that works out nicely because I have so much experience.
Yeah.
I have so many experiences to draw from, but it is a good elixir for making a living out of being yourself when mm-hmm. you have something to say.
That's true.
Something that I've always thought when I look at you is that you seem to just be so comfortable in your skin and that you're just confident. And I wonder, first of all, is this true? Like, do you feel confident and just embodied in yourself? And where does that come from?
I mean, I hear this about myself a lot.
People does it align? Say,
I mean, I don't feel more confident than anyone else does, but I also think whatever I feel I was born with, right? So I wouldn't know the difference. I've had periods of time where I didn't feel so confident, but I'm not an insecure person. I'm not, I feel I am comfortable in my skin. I have my issues like we all do. I'm not, I don't know that I'm,
But you're down to like, get naked and go skiing.
Yeah.
And that, not everyone would do that.
And not everyone with a history like you. I mean, like, even at 14, 15, when you were in the Miss Teen New Jersey and were told to lose 15 pounds, or when, you know, your boyfriend told you that your boobs were too big, like, those are moments that most women will then recoil and not have confidence. Yeah. But you went the opposite way. How and why? Where do you think that comes from?
That's just a belligerent attitude towards anyone who tells me what to do.
Yeah.
I just don't like being told what to do. I don't like any sort of framework that is limiting. And I honestly feel that anytime someone tells me no, that in my head I say yes on behalf of all women, not just me. Like, I think, oh, well, they're not, if they're going to put, you know, shut me down, then I'm allowing them to shut so many other women down. Yeah. So every time I say no to somebody, I'm saying no on behalf of all of us.
I'll take that no. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So that's maybe what the confidence is, because I'm thinking of all of us.
Yeah.
And so maybe that comes across as confident, confidence. But I think I used the wrong word earlier. I said elixir and I meant recipe, but that's...
I liked elixir.
Yeah.
We have a word called elixir.
We do.
Yeah.
We usually have to find a ketchup called elixir and then you'll be all set.
How's your Pikachu?
Pikachu is right here. It's not sore. I haven't had sex in a long time. I'm ready. I'm circling. I'm ready to experience a man again. Yes.
Okay.
A lot of lesbians think that I'm a lesbian or that I'm on my way over to lesbianism, but
kissing Retta didn't help.
No, I know.
And I saw that and I was like, shit,
oh,
Chelsea.
Yeah.
This community would welcome me with open arms, I'm sure.
Thank you.
But I think you're already like a bona, like, what do they call it?
Honorary.
Like an honorary lesbian. Mm-hmm. I think it's because of your strength and the fact that you're saying yes to all women. You don't have to have sex with a woman to have lesbian tendencies.
I've had sex with women.
Well,
have
sex with women.
But not one on one. Like, I'm not trying to hook up with a woman. Like in a threesome situation.
Oh, you had a three-person kiss before?
I've had a three-way.
I have two.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's a turn-on. I like watching a guy that you're into, you know, make out with another woman, fuck another woman.
Do you tell him what to do at that time?
Pretty much.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I agree.
Wow, guys.
Sorry.
Wow.
This really
took a turn.
It's good. It's great. It's just
different.
It's just what it is.
It's a very robust conversation.
Yeah. Very
it's
robust.
Wait, so, but you don't think that you would ever just... settle in with a woman?
My problem with men is, this is my problem with men. Men have been trying to tell me what to do from a very early age.
Since the beginning of time.
Yes. And I know any woman listening understands what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't have the personality like to be told what to do.
Right.
So now, like, I go through phases where I'm very attracted to, if I find someone like, you know, a specific person that I'm attracted to, in general, mm-hmm. I'm pretty appalled by what I see. And I think our current political landscape just highlights the fact that men have a lot of work to do. They need to, like, if it weren't, and I know that, like, not all men are Trump supporters mm-hmm. or Republicans, but men are the reason we're in this situation today, where we stand today. Men haven't fought hard enough or loud enough on behalf of women, on behalf of people of color, on behalf of the LGBTQ community. They just have never, it had never occurred to them mm-hmm. that they had to stand next to us mm-hmm. and fight.
Yeah.
And so because of that lack of awareness, we are sitting in this situation today. And that puts a real damper on my sex life, because you need to be a really specific, special kind of guy to make me take you seriously enough
yeah.
to have sex with you.
Yeah. And they're few and far between, to be honest.
Chelsea, I have a question.
Great.
When you go home, you take off all your masks. You take off the Chelsea Handler mask. You lay in bed with Doug, which is a chow. What are you snacking on? What's the snack of choice?
I love to eat in bed, first of all. I love to eat in bed. I got that from my mother. What's the snack of choice? I mean, so many different things. It really depends. First of all, I did an endorsement deal with this company, so I'm not just saying that, but because of that, I had access to so many Yasso bars, you know, those Yasso yogurt bars.
Yeah.
So I have that as a nightcap almost every night. Salted caramel is my flavor. Okay. I love that. That kind of like, I like to eat right before I go to sleep. Like, I always take an edible at night, or I take a Xanax. It depends where I am and what time zone I'm on. But I usually have to take something to help me fall asleep. Or I fall asleep and I wake up in the middle of the night and I'll take something. It's one of those two things. I want my life to just be hors d'oeuvres. Like,
Cute little nuggets of things.
I don't need to ever sit down and have a meal. I just want somebody to pass hors d'oeuvres throughout my day. Mm. So like a pig in a blanket is one of my favorite things ever. A little mini quiche, like with cheese and mushroom, or like goat cheese tartan, something like that.
Yeah.
That
I like the little spanakopita, the little triangle.
But that's not what I'm eating in bed at night, but those are my favorite kind of little snacks. I like little things.
Interesting.
Chicken nugget.
Why did you call Raven a chicken nugget?
Because she's short and nugget-like.
It makes total sense.
You know,
I thought it was because of my coloring.
Like someone you want to squeeze.
Thank you. She wants to squeeze me.
She's super squeezable.
I ask you that question because the passion that comes out of you is crazy.
Really?
Oh, it's crazy, Chelsea. And somebody with that much passion, how do they relax? What do they do in their own private space?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
No, I'm serious. I have to like take drugs to relax, especially during this moment, you know, that we're in. I'm very, very concerned about everything. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this before we went on the air, and I don't want to be like a wet noodle about anything because I do want to remain optimistic, because here's what we're dealing with. You know, women are so powerful. We are so powerful. We're never going anywhere. And this is men so intimidated by us and so scared of what we could achieve that they're trying to, you know, take us back to a time where we didn't have as much as we did. So I'm not worried about women.
They're
overall.
Trying. They're kind of succeeding.
Well, they're not. But overall,
it's doing well.
In this time that we're in, I have to remind myself to take the long view and look at everything historically. Mm-hmm. We will get through this.
Yeah.
So we can't get mired in it, but you have to remain actively in opposition, you know? So like the other night, I'm staying with my girlfriend right now. My house is being finished and I'm staying with my girlfriend. And the other night I was like, I need a joint. And she was like, and I don't really smoke joints. I usually take edibles. I'm like, I really need like a hit of something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I have a ton of joints in my whatever closet. She
my
went and got it. And
back.
I just sat outside and for about an hour and just sat there and like looked at the sky. Mm-hmm. And I was relaxing.
Okay, good.
I was like, oh, I'm relaxed. This is relaxing. I can't even connect my thoughts. This is exactly where I want to be numb. Like I needed to numb out.
That's fair.
I remember having a moment where Raven took me to Two Bunch Palms. And
what is that?
Ooh,
Two Bunch
Chelsea,
Palms?
Chelsea, I got to tell
Two
you
Bunch
about
Palms.
It.
Two Bunch Palms.
Yes, it's in Palm Springs. It's fantastic.
Oh, really?
It's a spa resort in Palm Springs.
Oh, that's
and
why I don't know about it. I don't like the heat.
Well, I don't either. We're very fair. And yes, the heat. And Chelsea, did you see the sun hat she walked in with?
Yes, I did.
I was like, this is my sister. but anyhow, we go to Palm Springs, and Two Bunch Palms has these baths and stuff, and you
concrete
soak in
concrete holes in the ground.
Because it's pulling from the
oasis and the mineral water.
So it's really like sulfuric. Springs. Anyhow, and we get there, and I'm like, why are we here? I don't like the heat. I don't like this hotel room. It's all of everything feels kind of rickety. I was bored instantly. And and Raven was like, you're crazy. Like, enjoy. Like, take a breath. And I was like, I can't. My mind was going a million miles an hour. And I wanted
to. She does not smoke. She does not drink.
But I wanted to, like, go do things or just exercise, like, I don't know, just something, some stimulation other than like a road runner. Like, I just want to do something. But finally, on like the third day, I
adapted. Before we leave.
And I remember soaking in one of these tubs and looking up at the sky because you can soak 24/7. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what relaxing is.
Yeah.
It was so foreign to like actually feel this feeling in my body, because I think my nervous system has been just fucked for my entire life. And I was like, oh, wow, this is just peace. And I couldn't connect to anything. I wasn't thinking about what I had to do for work or who I had to call or what I hadn't done during the day or blah, blah, blah. And that was a really nice moment of just kind of like, oh, this is why people like to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Got it.
Reading helps me relax. Books. If I'm really into a book,
yeah,
that's helpful too. Then I can escape. But I'm a very much a like, I have to be doing something for my brain. Even when I'm like watching dumb TV. I mean, I don't like, you know, I'll watch a series and I just to not just to lie there, you know, like I'll do that frequently. I'll be like, oh, God, I'm just going to lie on the couch or in bed. And
would you watch Girls Behaving Badly season 3? Is that something that you would watch to relax?
No, I haven't seen that. I don't know how to access that, actually. So.
I'm going to find it for you. Don't worry about it.
I would love for you to.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I can relax like that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we live in a world that's just too much. Even when I go to Mallorca, like
everywhere.
I wake up, I'm like, okay, let me go on this hike. And then I'm going to go swimming. And then I'm going to go read my book for 2 hours. And then I'm going to lift weights. And then I'm going to, you know, and then I'm going to have a daiquiri at noon. And then I'm going to have another one. Like, you know, I don't have an easy time relaxing, but I love the idea of being able to relax.
Yes, and I crave that too. It's like I want to go on the beautiful vacation, but then I'm in it and I'm just like antsy.
I feel bad for both of you.
Well, yeah, because she is a maxer relaxer.
Honey, I will not talk to anybody. The phone is off. The couch is mine.
Oh,
don't
I like
talk
the phone
to me.
Off. That's a nice idea.
Oh, I'll turn that off in a heartbeat. As long as I have her in the same room as me or in the same building as me. Then I know anybody who needs me can call her.
Right.
She wants to answer. I don't. So I turn my phone off.
That's
I sit on the couch and I watch the worst television shows that have ever been made.
Mm-hmm.
And it is fantastic. When I go into a relaxed state or when I go on a vacation, I can relax second day there. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that at such a young age, I was so hyped up. I think personally, I burned out my battery.
Yeah.
Like I don't have enough battery to give the same energy that I did back in the day. So I'm actually, I don't think it's actually healthy what's happening. I think I'm just kind of just slowly depleting. Anyway, I really feel bad for you both because depletion feels great to me.
No, I think we're good. Did the ayahuasca help you in any
relax?
Way?
The ayahuasca helped me, but not to relax. Like to really, like, you know, like if I look at my calendar and I have 4 or 5 things, I'm like, ugh. Like I really want nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I really just want nothing to do.
Yeah.
And when I do have nothing to do, I do nothing. But for some reason, it doesn't feel relaxing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Right. I mean, it's like I have to drug myself to relax.
Yeah. That's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard.
I really want to do ayahuasca.
Do you?
I do. I'm scared, though. I'm scared it might break my brain.
No, it won't break your brain.
But my brain is from a childhood Hollywood stars area. So
yeah,
I feel
fine.
Like
you're fine. I mean, you're normal. Like, considering. No. I know you're not normal, but I'm saying considering everything.
Yeah.
You're not off.
True.
You're not like mentally unstable.
No.
And I would only say to people who want to experiment with drugs, if you're mentally unstable or if you're on like an antidepressant, it doesn't work anyway.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason not to any of these drugs like microdosing or psilocybin or LSD or MDMA, like you're only going to have a good experience as long as you are go in it with like, yeah, okay, I can't
right.
wait.
That makes sense.
You know, like if you want to do something, you're going to have a good experience doing it. You know, ayahuasca is something I did once for a Netflix special, but I've never had a desire to do it again.
Did
but
you
it,
throw up a bunch?
Yeah, I did one time I threw up.
So like 5-pound weight loss journey?
No, it wasn't like that.
That's what I was hoping.
Yeah, me too.
Have you heard about the toad?
Toad venom. My toad venom. I didn't like that.
No,
I did not like that. No,
that
I woke
impressive.
Up nude. I got so hot and sweaty. And also, in Toad Venom's defense, I didn't really prepare for that drug. I just kind of heard about it, and my friend was telling me about it, and I was in Venice, and the person was in Venice, California, and I was like, oh. I'll just go and do it. Like it was very spur of the moment, and that's not what you're supposed to prep for that kind of drug.
Yeah.
So as soon as it happened, it was the only drug that I've ever felt dark.
Okay.
Like I'm very oriented with light. and I don't like dark places. I like light. Like even in hotel rooms, I need light. I need lots of windows. I don't like dark.
Mm. Yeah, me either.
Like in New York, you know, everyone stays at like the Bowery or they stay downtown at the Greenwich.
It's a cave.
And those places make me physically uncomfortable.
Most definitely.
I wonder what that means. There must be some subconscious.
I just need
trauma.
Maybe. Yeah. I just need good vibes. I want happy vibes and high vibes, and I want everything to be nice and luxurious.
Yes, very comfortable. At the birthday party that we ran into you at, we were talking to a friend that we ran into there, and he had just done
Venom.
The Toad Venom.
Yeah, my friend.
And he was like, it changed my life. And I think it's always appealing or alluring when you talk to people who do these things and they're like, oh my gosh, it opened portals in my brain and I feel healed and now I'm the best version of myself and thriving. It's like, okay, well, what am I missing out on?
Well, you're missing out on a lot, babes, because I microdosed shrooms and it helped me with my anxiety. It helped me with some of my depression and it keeps me actually caring about things.
Do you do that? What kind of cycle are you on for your microdose of shrooms?
Well, self-diagnosed cycle, depending on if I want to paint a little bit extra, if I don't want to paint a little bit extra, or if I have to go into a meeting, I won't take as much. I definitely give breaks because if you do it every day, it messes
too
with
much.
You. But I do, if I know I have something coming up that I will start getting anxious for, I'll do it probably 3 or 4 days in advance and not take anything on that day, and it's already in my system a little bit.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I figured it out. That's COVID nice. Helped me figure that out.
That's nice. Good
you
for
know?
You.
Yeah, I really like it.
I kind of do that with LSD. Mm-hmm. And microdose LSD on the regular, just because it keeps like if I'm especially if I'm hungover or if I'm like depleted or if I've just traveled a lot and I need to get it up and I have something to do, I'll like take it and it just kind of levels me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, so I like that.
And the thing is like there's serotonin boost, and a lot of people are going to have a lot of different ideas about this conversation, and you can have those ideas and your opinions. You can put them in the comments. But what the truth is we know what's right for our body. Mm-hmm. Not everything is right for everyone's body. Mm-hmm. And when you are smart and well-traveled as you are, or understand your body in a way that you don't want man-made chemicals in your body, or you don't want to go and help a whole bunch of pharmaceuticals kind of give you so many different side effects. When you understand that a microdose of LSD can bring your hormones and feelings up to a good, that's a beautiful thing compared to someone who's doing it to kill their life and, you know, drain the whole life force out of them.
But we also do that on an everyday basis, and I think people don't understand, because even when you consume food, you're changing your biochemistry in that moment. So people who are sugar addicts or people who need caffeine, that's all stemming from the same place. And I know from being in treatment centers that there were a certain group of girls that would always crave Diet Coke, and those women were usually very, very low in dopamine, and they were trying to get some kind of boost in their brain. And the minute they would drink Diet Coke, and then it was found out that Diet Coke, the combination of the caffeine and some of the other chemicals.
And the Coke
gave people this happy feeling.
And let's not forget why it's called Coca-Cola.
We're all craving balance in our bodies one way or another, or just feeling good.
Yeah, yeah.
And we find our ways.
Yeah, Diet Coke is a very specific addicts. Like it's it's like when I travel, like when I'm home, I never drink Diet Coke. When I'm on the road, it's like I need a Diet Coke. You know what I mean? It's exactly what you're talking about. You're like, I need a fix. I need something. I need an upper.
Are you specific about it? Meaning like you want it from the fountain versus a can?
I always want it from the fountain. But I will take it in a can. It has to be fucking on ice, though. It has to be ice fucking cold.
Yeah.
Everything I consume, I want to be ice fucking cold.
Really? Even your food?
No. But
some people like cold food and don't like hot food.
By the way, I was flying back from New York and the other day, and I was on JetBlue.
And you saw a woman dry off her panties in front of you?
No, but I did see that once.
Okay.
That actually, someone said that to me. Mm. But yeah, somebody was drying their panties on the night. What's it called? The tray table.
Tray table.
But
sitting next to you?
No, someone forwarded me a picture. They were on a plane.
Understood.
And I've been very outspoken about plane etiquette and why what is wrong with everyone. And so they served me this meal. It was an option. Like it was goat cheese croquettes. Oh. Right? Mm-hmm. Croquetas mm-hmm. or cro, but they
can be tiny and cute sometimes. Yeah,
and I love tapas. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, croquetas. I was like, on the plane? I'm like, what a treat. and with mashed potatoes mm-hmm. underneath it. Okay. Right? So yes, that was like an cute appetizer.
Yeah.
And the guy brought it to me, the flight attendant brought it to me, and it was freezing. And I said, excuse me, sir. I go, mine is all cold. And he goes, oh, that's how we're serving it. And I went, no, it's not. First of all, it's a croquetta. Just by the nature of it, it's supposed to be warm. And you can't tell me that you intentionally are serving cold mashed potatoes.
It's crazy.
And he's like, I can heat it up if you want. I'm like, yeah, definitely. And then I looked and everyone was eating it cold. And I just couldn't believe it. Who the fuck wants to eat cold mashed potatoes and cold croquettas?
That's wild.
The sheep.
Yeah. I mean,
the sheep.
But honestly, exactly. I was like, doesn't anyone else have a problem here?
Everyone does, and they're not. It's for you to say it because everyone is so scared to speak their mind. They're scared that somebody's going to spit in their food.
Or they have the opposite problem. Yeah. They're not scared enough.
That part.
You know, like I would say that, but I'm always so respectful, especially in the service industry. I was a waitress for like 10 years or 8 years. So I understand. I would never be like, this is fucking cold. But I'd be like, excuse me, sir, is there any, you know, I know how to
You're polite.
Operate. But there are people that, you know, need that lesson also.
Oof. I think that when people are in airports or on planes, they all are acting like it's their first day on Earth.
I tell everyone now, anytime there's someone having a phone call on speakerphone, I don't care if it has anything to do with me, if they're in my area, I go over and I'm saying, I'm so sorry, do you have headphones?
Yeah.
Because then you need to get the fuck off the phone. who would want anyone to hear their conversation?
Oh, people don't care.
People don't care.
It's unbelievable.
I will tell you this about me, though, and I feel ashamed to admit it. I have a thing about the phone to my ear because of the heat and the radio, and it'll like make my ears burn.
Right.
And so then sometimes
AirPods.
But those sometimes will do the same thing. So
it's called texting, everyone.
On a rare occasion, I will have to like put my phone on speaker super low, and then I'm like, okay, I have to call you back because I won't like ever FaceTime in public because that's disgusting. But I have been that person that I feel extremely like self-conscious and terrible.
For me, it's not you, babes. For me, it's the people that are already sitting on the plane. The flight attendant is going up and down the aisles telling you to turn off the phone, and you're so loud.
It's the man that was on the plane with us recently who decided to go on live Instagram and record his experience on the plane, which... Dude, nothing is fucking happening. Like, you're sitting in a seat. You know what I mean?
He was like a 35-year-old baby. He looked like baby Huey.
It was bizarre. But he decides to go on live and just show out the window and show here and then show out the window and then show his face. And I was like...
Oh, God.
Everyone
is so annoying.
They're so annoying.
Is it your first plane ride?
Yes.
Who cares about that?
For real, though. That's what I was getting at.
There was a woman sitting next to me on a plane a few weeks ago who took almost, like... I want to say like 50 selfies of herself, like this at the window and this at the window. And finally, I had sunglasses on. I think it was coming back from Vegas on Jet Suite. And I finally I went like this. And I looked at her and I said, are you serious? I had to.
Yes,
I'm like, you
did.
Got the picture.
For all of us.
Stop what you're doing. You're humiliating yourself. Yes.
And Chelsea, that was a moment when you were speaking for everyone, every person in humanity, because that is crazy. It's crazy.
But it's also crazy that people don't have consideration for others that are sitting right next, for strangers sitting next to them. Like, to not take into account someone sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't take a selfie of myself on a plane while I was seated next to someone, because it's weird.
It's so weird. Okay, I have a question about planes. When you
fart
on an airplane.
That's me.
They all smell the same. No. All farts smell the same on airplanes. There's never been a different scent of a fart on an airplane.
Never.
There's something that happens at that altitude that makes all farts smell
the
like
same.
Your own.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't where I was going. Okay. I was actually going to the window because the window seat person technically owns the window, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're having a middle of the day, bright sun flight.
No, you ask them to close it.
But also, shouldn't you, as the window seat person, just know to close
it? Yeah, of course.
It's called decorum.
Yes, of course.
But
some people, I had a woman sitting next to me who was asleep in the sun like this. I have to have like a fucking sweatshirt wrapped around my eyes to sleep in broad daylight. Like, there is no way I'm falling asleep facing the sun. There's just no way that's happening. No. You saw the hat I walked in. Like, I would never. And so, yeah, but I know. Yes, that's decorum. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Is the sun in your eyes? Let me shut this.
Right.
Window shade
the
for you.
The last three flights that we've been on.
There's also that one. Sorry. I know I'm interrupting you, but you got
fine.
Me on one.
Yeah.
There's nothing I'm more passionate about than planes.
Understood.
There's also that window that's in between the two seats.
So
the
bad.
And so sometimes you have to go and you have to shut that. And it's like, it's not up for discussion.
Chelsea, this is what I'm trying. The last three flights that we took, I had the unfortunate luck of every single time having people, inconsiderate window seat sitters, and they all had their things open, and this one loves the sun. Now, I do not like the sun. Like you, big sun hat, sunglasses, SPF. When you're in an airplane, you're even closer to the sun, so the radiation is that much stronger. Your sun damage is that much more likely to penetrate you.
So, I don't know about that.
It's true.
Okay, is it
true?
Is it? Because those are pretty thick windows.
No, it's absolutely true. I've done the research.
I believe that you have exposure to the sun. I don't know that it's worse than being on the ground.
It is. I
outside.
Promise you.
Outside.
Yes.
Is it?
It is.
What? Do you have a study that I can refer?
Yes.
You can
I'll show
me
to?
Well,
we will. She does not.
It's just.
It is just her feeling.
No, it's just a fact, you guys.
It's not
okay?
a fact, Leo.
You're getting closer to the sun. You are getting closer.
Are you one of those women who wears like a shirt at the beach, like a, you know, to protect your body?
She might not wear it at the beach, but she owns
like
the
Nicole
shirt.
Like Nicole Kidman. She wears, you know, you see her pictures
Nicole,
of her at the beach and
I
she's
am
covered.
Nicole Kidman.
But
okay.
the shirt
but
also
you're
has
not.
SPF.
We're so fair.
No. I let, oh, the shirt has
SPF. The shirt
SPF.
Has SPF,
oh,
as
yeah.
does the hat.
My no, I'm not
SPF.
There. I don't do that. I'm more worried about this face.
Yeah, it's money maker.
I mean, my skin is pretty good. I lucked out with my skin. It's nice and soft. It's not very, like,
your
wrinkly.
Skin, I've actually noticed this whole time,
you have great
gorgeous
skin.
Hands.
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
They're so, like, you don't have a crease. I mean, like, usually the hands go first.
You shea butter?
It's like the hands
no.
and the neck.
I lubricate
are...
a lot. Yeah, no. I don't have, thank you. My sister was touching me the other day and she goes,
you can tell you're
oh
very
soft. Oh my God,
soft.
Why? She goes, your skin is so soft. And I was like, isn't yours? And then I touched her forearm. I'm like, oh.
It's not.
It's not.
Okay, Chelsea, will you take your gorgeous hand and go into this pot and pull out our topic?
Yeah.
Laura's gonna, okay, Chelsea's got it.
Are you ready?
Yes, to see my hand.
Yes, these gorgeous hands.
Hand model.
Oh, you
am
know
I
what?
Bringing it?
You can if you want
yeah.
to. This is like,
this is tea time.
Like a weird,
yeah, it's
culture
weird.
Or something.
Oh, did you notice that?
Oh, no, I did.
Terrifying, isn't
wow,
it just?
That is really terrifying, you guys. That's not.
Do you like kind of like it or you just
looks,
hate it?
Well, it doesn't really look like either one of you, either one.
Yeah.
Did you guys do that yourselves?
Laura did it for us.
Traditions.
Ooh,
traditions. Probably the worst one to give me, but
no, really? Not at all.
Okay,
I'll start. I hate traditions. I think that they keep people in patterns that need to be broken. I think that traditions create a sense of comfort for those who don't want to explore and can't get out of their own way or can't be free thinking. And then at the same time, I look at a tradition and I look at it just as to remember the past. Not necessarily, and I guess I'm saying the same thing. It's just not for growth sometimes. At a very, very young age, I witnessed what Christmas was about, and it wasn't the religious part. It was just so family can come over, I eat, I wake up the next morning, and then can't eat anymore for the rest of the year. And it was just like, that is not a fun tradition for me. And so now, being married, we're kind of getting into the same cyclical pattern of going to family here and there, but I keep it fun enough to where I don't feel like I'm being old and can't change my ways and traditions.
Well, I like everything you said. I think that's right. I don't like to be told once again
what to do,
on what day I'm going to have a turkey.
Yeah.
I don't want to be told on what day we're all going to stay home from school. Like, I want Christmas to be random.
Mm-hmm.
I want Thanksgiving, I find to be one of the most boring holidays of all time, and I try to avoid it at all costs. I spent Christmas alone in Whistler, Canada for the first time during COVID because I wanted to go skiing and you couldn't get in and out easily. So I got a way to get in, and the rest of my family, I was like, see you guys later. Oh, you know, yeah. My brothers, my sisters, and all my nieces and nephews. And I had Christmas alone for the first time in my life. And I thought to myself, I will never, ever do this any other way. I just loved it.
It's a play. It's just, you have to do this. You have to buy the present.
And it's for children. It's not for adults.
Like ketchup.
But I like what you said about being a free thinker, because I think that's a bigger point. Mm-hmm. You know, like I want to be a free thinker. I want to do things that are not, I don't want to do what's expected of me. I want to actually find out what I want to do.
Yeah.
And on that Christmas, I found out that I wanted to ski by myself on Christmas.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. And that's what I'm going to do because I've earned it.
So period. That's a new tradition in a way.
Yeah.
Then you've created it, which is so cool. So your mom was Mormon.
Uh-huh.
Your dad, Jewish. Did you have, what was that like growing up?
What was and that traditional Seder like?
Well, my mom didn't, I didn't know, Passover? I didn't find out my mom was Mormon until my brother died.
Oh,
because
wow.
They had to bury him in a Jewish cemetery. And so our rabbi was over. So when you're Jewish, you sit Shiva, right? People
yeah.
come over for 7 days and they bring you like hot pastrami and corned beef. Apparently that goes
delicious.
Nicely with death. And my mom... I remember them, my parents talking to our rabbi. I went to Hebrew school since I was like, you know, first grade. I went to Hebrew school. I was bat mitzvahed. Mm-hmm. We were raised Jewish. And I remember my mom talking to our rabbi, and our rabbi's like, well, if Rita wants to be buried, I thought my mom was Jewish too.
Wow.
She went to Hebrew school. Like, she went to temple with us. We would go on Friday nights. And so I remember him saying, my mother's name was Rita, if Rita wants to be buried next to Chet, my brother who died, she's going to have to convert to Judaism. And that was the first time I had ever heard about convert to Judaism. I go, convert? Why would she convert?
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's like, she's Mormon. Your mother's Mormon, technically. And I'm like, what the fuck is Mormon? And they gave me the Book of Mormon at some point after that and said, my mom's like, I'm actually Mormon, I'm not Jewish, and this is how you can learn about it. I read that in like a half an hour, and I came back downstairs and I'm like, you're an idiot. Like, this is so stupid.
Yeah,
this somebody just made this religion up. I mean, I think that about most religions.
Yeah, I
mean,
yeah.
I'm sorry, all religions.
Yeah,
I believe, you know, yeah. I don't believe in religion. I think religion is the root of all of our problems.
So you read the Book of Mormon, you went to your mom, you said, what the fuck are you doing? Where do you stand between your upbringing, what you know your mom to be, and what you know to be true for yourself?
I like the idea of, you know, having values that are related to being kind, being generous of spirit and of any material, you know, mm-hmm. like thing, helping another person out, being kind to your neighbor, helping your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are great sentiments
mm-hmm.
and practices and family values. You know, I like to tell the truth. But that's a moral code, you know, that gets sandwiched with religion. I mean, that's how you can choose to be regardless of your religion.
Yeah.
So that's what I am. Like, I like to be morally bound to my own, you know, like, I like to pretend, you know, it's not like I've never prayed to God. Of course I have. But I like to always pretend somebody is watching me.
Mm.
So, but I also like to, you know, I think a measure of a man, and when I say man, I mean women and men. I think a measure of a person is really what you're doing when nobody's looking.
I agree
with that. I don't think like, oh, something is watching me, but to kind of keep myself in check, which is what I kind of heard you say, is sometimes I think, what would happen if I had to talk about this or my texts were shown in court? And mm-hmm. would I feel good about it? Like, that's how I keep myself
she
in check.
She was watching court shows.
Like, yeah. Right. Well, I'm like, if I had to be Johnny Depp and Amber Heard and have my text messages read.
Which one would you be out of Johnny Depp and Amber Heard?
Johnny.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think I would be Johnny Depp,
yeah.
too.
I think we would all be Johnny.
Yeah. We would all want Mega Pines.
Although I think I would shit on a pillow.
Yeah,
ew.
I don't know if I could shit on a pillow.
Oh, I would do
quite
it.
Quite frankly,
I would do it and just start laughing and stay there so that they knew it was mine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or sign it.
With a little stick, a little toothpick.
Oh,
just,
God.
Or just bring a pen and sign it. And really throw them for a loop.
Not with, like, the poop knife.
I'm so loving it. Okay, let's get back to traditions.
Well,
Anyhow, that's how I keep myself in check. I just think if this were to be read in the court of
law,
would I be
humiliated? That's a good, first of all, that's a like a good policy always is to assume your text will be read.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they probably will be.
I know. And I just don't want to be like mortified. What about non-religious traditions? Like people would say like birthdays.
Like my birthday. Okay. Every year on my birthday, I ski with my bathing suit.
That's a great tradition.
So that's a tradition. Amazing. That's become a tradition. I've done it like probably 6 years in a row.
That's beautiful.
I love that.
That's my birthday tradition. And that's what I decided I was going to do. And then it kind of became a tradition. And I'll probably break it. You know what I mean?
Because you can.
Yeah.
Where's your love from love of skiing from?
Just love how present you have to be. Mm. I think the biggest bursts of like, I know that the biggest bursts of joyfulness come from being present.
Yeah.
So skiing, the reason why I didn't know in the beginning, but then I realized, oh, the reason I love it so much is because you're trying not to die. You have to be really good at what you're doing to ski the stuff that I'm skiing. And that alone, like getting to that skill set, like skill level is adrenaline. The whole process is adrenaline. I love being outside and not being on my phone or being, you know, like I wouldn't call myself like an outdoorsy person, but I love skiing.
I've skied twice in my life. And the first time was with Tony Shalhoub. And he took me on a black diamond course, I don't even know if that's the right term.
It is.
Run the it first time.
Black diamond?
It's not a course.
It's not a course. It's a run. Yes. I got there. And I honestly thought I was going to die. And we were going so quickly and someone recognized him and started then skiing after the both of us screaming, "That's monk, monk, monk." And it was terrible. But I love to ski after that. And
I did it one other time. I got kicked out of my skiing class. I was so bad they kicked me out and I was not allowed to get on the mountain.
How old were you when that happened?
Like 15.
Mm.
You guys,
you're not a sporty lesbian in any way, shape, or form.
No, I'm the arty lesbian.
The arty lesbian.
Before we move on, I just want to say, Chelsea, you have graced us with so much content, and you are still doing it. The tickets are on sale now for the Chelsea Handler, the High and Mighty Tour. What else are you about to tell us, Chelsea?
I've got some things in the works that are going to make people excited.
So back on the road.
Well, that is my, I'm going to do a tour next year. It's called the High and Mighty Tour because I'm high and mighty.
You sure are.
And I want everyone else to feel high and mighty too. Nothing else I can really say just yet.
Any traditions that you do on road /
before
rituals?
A show?
Yeah. I always go to dinner with my opener and with whoever's traveling with me, usually my tour manager and an assistant. And we go to dinner. I always have a cocktail before I go on stage.
And what is it?
Usually a gin and soda or a vodka soda. It depends what kind of. I like gin. Tanqueray.
I got a gin bottle for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's really good.
Thank you. But again, you know, it's not really a tradition. I break any tradition that I do. You know,
I don't get molds.
I get bored very easily.
And rituals, then.
Yeah, yeah. But the same thing. Like, anytime I do something too many times, I'm like, maybe not. You know?
I love that.
So
Does that work even in like your own routine, meaning like in your exercise, in your skincare, in if you do those things too repetitively? Are you like, oh,
me.
I fucking hate exercise, I'm over it? Or is that different?
I'm too old to hate exercise and be over it. I can't afford to do that.
Got it.
I have to exercise in order to stay strong. And I have to stay strong in order to ski well. So those things are all connected.
Understood.
My skin routine, I don't do anything. I honestly
don't?
I don't wash my face. I'm going to be honest.
I get
lasers and facials and I get all that shit done.
Okay.
But I don't sit around like, I mean, you know, if my eyes are puffy, I'll put on eye masks and that's pretty much the extent of my skin game. When I'm alone, if I'm not on camera, I don't do anything. I put on fucking serum and I'm like, let's go, and sunblock. But I'm not into my, like, I don't sit there and take care of myself.
But your skin is beautiful.
Thank you. I know. I've been blessed with nice skin.
You really have.
Thank you.
I'm here inspecting you. And I love your hairline.
Oh.
Not the hairline.
I really do.
That's crazy. That's such a wild statement.
I really do.
Wow, that hairline is so filled in.
I love your hairline.
What do you love about my hairline?
So you have what would maybe look like a widow's peak, or someone would call, but it's not a widow's peak. It's like you have like baby hair growth right here.
Oh, yeah.
And
I noticed that.
I really like it.
Well, I use hair serum. So that's new growth. It's new growth. That would be new growth.
It's working.
Yeah, thank you.
I use minoxidil, and I don't get new growth. I get a really dry scalp.
Oh, is that right? Ugh. I try not to wash my hair often.
Yeah.
But I don't like that vibe. Like, I in order for me to have a clear head, I need to wash my hair that day.
Yes.
But every time you wash your hair and blow it dry, you're fucking crushing it. You know what I mean? And not the good crushing it.
Yeah.
You're crushing your hair.
You're killing
it. So us with like light hair, even though this isn't natural, I'm obviously not a natural blonde anymore. It's still like I try really hard to maintain because hair is pretty important.
It's very important.
It's kind of the most important thing.
Yeah. It's really quite important.
That's why I shaved all mine off because I was so over that shit.
I wish I could shave mine off. I would just look like a hard-boiled egg.
Me too.
So
is this Justin Anderson blonde still?
Oh, yeah. Well, I use Cody Smith now because Justin moved to Nashville an asshole.
With Kristen
Cavallari. Yeah, it's like he had a baby and her name is Kristen Cavallari.
Literally, they are like enmeshed. Justin, I've known Justin for a long time. I knew Justin when he was an assistant at Art Luna.
Oh.
And I watched his whole glow up and his line. Chris McMillan, and then he moved, but Cody's great.
Yeah, Cody's great.
We have a little mini game, you guys. Keep it or kick it. Do you agree with these old school traditions, or do you think it's time to kick it? Proposing with a ring on one knee.
Get that shit out of here. Get it out of here.
Seriously.
New Year's resolution.
Kick it
out of here. You never follow them anyway, that damn way. It makes you feel bad about yourself for the whole year.
Well done, babes. Making your bed every morning.
Hate that shit.
I like it.
I keep it. I make the bed.
I like that. That's the only semblance of organization I have in my life is making my bed. And then my housekeeper comes in and fixes it. So it's like, you know, exclamation point.
Yeah, exactly. But we're helping. We're giving.
You are making more just a good habit to make your bed.
I agree.
Brush your teeth instead.
Well, scrape your tongue.
Is ridiculous because I know our aunts, all of us, waiting until marriage. Kick it.
Come on. For anal? What are we waiting for?
Yes. Exactly.
For oom-bop.
No. Mm-bop.
It's called boofing, guys.
There it is.
That part is.
Dressing up for flights.
I like it. I like
it. Funny. Yeah, I'm going to go with That's So Raven for that. I like dressing up for a flight. I don't do it, but I think it's cute.
I
wouldn't go to an airport like in leggings or sweatpants. Like I find that to be ick.
Jeans?
Yeah, like you want to be dressed for the day. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're not going to like sleepaway camp.
Wait, does any
or open-toed shoes? I don't appreciate that
can't
either.
Do it.
Flip-flops or sandals.
That's a
please
hell.
Don't.
That's a deep hell no. But do you ever have the voice in your head of I most likely will be seen at this airport, photographed at this airport, and therefore I should look a bit more presentable?
No. I do. I had that ingrained in me my whole life.
Oh, God. I once saw a celebrity. I won't say her name because she's a good friend of mine, but it was before we were friends. I saw her on a flight, an international flight, and right before she got off the plane, she went into the bathroom and got dressed to the nines.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that's somebody who really, really... Cares. First of all, isn't that what fucking sunglasses are for?
That part. You guys, I have to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
Well, I guess it's that ketchup trying to find its... I guess
babes,
it's that ketchup.
Serious?
Yeah, she's very serious. Look how fast she's running. Okay, everybody, That's So Raven just got diarrhea, which is so Raven.
She literally got diarrhea.
Yeah.
Okay,
while
Chelsea.
We were in the middle of the, I mean, we're wrapping it up, but she really is wrapping it up. Really? Yeah, that's your wife.
That's my fucking
God.
Wife.
Wow.
Not wearing white after Labor Day.
Oh, please.
Kick it.
Kick it.
Yeah. Handwritten thank you notes.
That's nice. But I don't do that.
Me either. But if I receive one, I like it until
I throw
it
away.
Yeah,
it's very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I like a thank you note, but it's just easier to do that on my phone.
Oh, absolutely agreed. Singing happy birthday.
I like it. It's fine to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to kind of embarrass somebody, especially when it's not their birthday.
100%. Like, I love being at a restaurant and telling someone.
Yeah.
I'll, like, sneak around to a waiter and I'll be like, it's my friend's birthday. And then they come and they're shocked. It's very cute. Very fun. Okay, that's the mini game, Laura.
Yeah.
Are we waiting?
No, I don't think so.
It's going to be a while?
I mean, no, I think it's out and it'll be quick, actually. It's only 2:41. We have time. Do you want to talk about anything while she's having diarrhea? We're definitely keeping this part in.
Can you tell me about your lasers?
Oh, yeah. I do a CO2 laser. Have you ever done that?
I'm terrified.
Okay. It's really, really brutal.
Yes.
So you should be terrified.
I am.
But it really does wonders for your skin. You can't be seen for about 10 days.
Yeah.
And your face is... It's so crazy what happens to your face.
Because you get really swollen, right?
You get swollen and then it peels off. I got one last year and drove to Whistler. I was like, you know what I'll do? A road trip. And I looked so crazy. I and my face just started peeling like on day three.
Yeah.
I took 3 days to get there and I had to cross the border from, you know, in like Seattle, north of Seattle.
Yeah, into Canada.
And I was like, right away, there was two guys. I was like, right away, I'm like, hey, guys, I just want you to know I had a laser because it looked like I got beaten up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were like, you know, they didn't even fucking notice because they're men. You know, they were like, what? And yeah. I'm like, why bring attention to something? How's your asshole?
Tangy.
Wow.
Damn, that was wild. That's a first.
Well, and maybe it was my allergic reaction to your ketchup.
I think it was. Something. I had oysters last night, and then I had a weird chicken.
I don't think you
chicken.
Can blame oysters for what just happened. Don't give oysters a bad name, okay?
There was a very, very, very rotten salad given to us.
Ew, where? Yeah,
at the split.
We'll tell you after.
I think you should tell us on the air so that nobody, that doesn't happen to anybody.
It was a raw bar
in Echo Park.
Raw chicken?
No, raw fish.
Raw fish. All right.
But it really, okay. Have you done Morpheus?
Yes.
That's
so painful. Oh, I came back just in time.
That is so painful. Morpheus is so painful.
Yeah.
More painful than CO2.
More painful
but
than
CO2,
what I just
you can
through.
Do different levels. Yeah. You can make it like, yeah. You can build your way up. But it gives the best results.
Do you know
like,
what I really just want to do? Mm. I want to wait until I turn 40 in 2 years. And then I just want to have a lift.
And you don't need to do anything else.
Yeah.
Then you don't need to do filler. Filler's disgusting. Don't ever do filler.
I haven't done it.
It's so gross. You'll just get it removed.
Yeah.
And Botox is fine a little bit, like micro Botox. But like, you know, like my friend's like, you can get Botox for your eyes. I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, I know that. But like for my smile lines. I want to look
like a human.
Yourself. Yeah. I'm like, I could do all of that. But I do stuff, plenty of stuff. So yeah. I want to leave a little sense of reality.
I love that.
I mean, yes, I agree. I think that's the way. But really, I mean, you have the hands and the great neck, so you're doing wonderfully.
You.
And the cute hairline.
Thank you.
Can we re-toast?
We're going to, yeah, we're toasting. We didn't toast.
We were waiting
toast.
For you. Okay, we Doug knew you were in turmoil. He went to go
he
check
did.
On
he
you.
He ran.
Did
he
I think
good boy, Dougie.
Good boy, Doug.
Now he can relax. He really knew.
He knew.
Cheers.
Cheers to, what boy. Are we, cheers to
we'll
your
tell you right now. Oh.
To her asshole. Today on the podcast, we are actually toasting to Millie Bobby Brown.
Wow. Okay, Millie
Do you
Bobby
know her?
Brown.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not personally, but I've interviewed her, I'm sure.
Oh, amazing. Since 2022, Brown has been living on a farm in Georgia with Jake Bon Jovi, or what? Where yeah. She launched an animal rescue organization called Joey's Friends.
Oh, Joey's Friends.
The actor and her 5-person team rescue dogs from local kill shelters and foster them until they can find them a forever home. That's really nice.
That's beautiful.
On top of running the dog shelter, Brown also looks over her farm and the 20 animals that call it home. The actor has taken on her duties. Can we call her Millie instead of the actor? Millie has taken on her duties with great responsibility as she has been studying human services and veterinary studies at Purdue University. Millie admits to treating her animals like her babies and has even confessed taking her baby animals to set while she's filming as some needed to be bottle fed.
I really appreciate that.
Sweet.
And you know what I like about it too?
Yeah,
Millie Bobby Brown has been, you know, in our line of sight for so many years of her life, but she's also doing something for her and her soul.
Mm-hmm.
I knew an actress that was on Disney. She was a friend of mine for a really long time. She was really big in Disney Channel world on Disney movies and everything.
Miley Cyrus?
And she also had a sister in the industry. And
Lindsay
I remember
Loa.
And I remember
Good
her
guess.
Calling me.
Good guess.
Britney Spears.
I remember her calling me and
Christina
saying.
Christina Aguilera. Ryan Gosling?
I cannot stand the industry. I need to go. And I said, where are you going to go, girl? You're at the height of heights. And she goes, I'm going to go be a veterinarian. And she works at. She wow. works at an animal shelter and an animal place. It's not Millie Bobby Brown.
Oh, it must have been someone from Cheetah Girls then.
No, they all are still out here. Mm. But I love that for her. If you could pick any other job, I'm guessing it would be a politician?
Oh. maybe. I don't know. Any other job. Probably like a psychologist
mm-hmm.
or like a motivational speaker. Somebody who would just inspire people to get up off of their asses and go live their best life.
I kind of feel like you
know,
do that.
Stop being a victim
yeah.
if you're being a victim and just get up. And go live a life.
Yes.
And live a loud, brave life.
I agree. Millie Bobby Brown recently adopted a baby, and the internet is desperately trying to figure out if the baby is black or not.
On that note, thank you so much for coming.
Cheers.
Guys. Do you have anything that you want to promote other than what we are
just
talking
my high? You can go check out my new website, you guys. We just redesigned it. That's Yay. Where you buy tickets for my High and Mighty tour.
I can't wait. I hope that we can come and see you on tour.
Yeah, that'll
it
be
would
great.
Be.
You
such...
have to come. I'll play LA for the Netflix is a Joke Festival. I'll be playing LA.
We are coming.
Let me
we
know. We'll hook you up.
Oh. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for watching Tea Time. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and hit that bell for notifications. And if you have any suggestions of who we should be on the podcast, put it down in the comments. And we love you all. Thank you for supporting us for all of these months/years.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.